Start with our opening prayer. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
Saints and sages of all religions,
Saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to start tonight out with a little bit of preparation of opening ourselves to receive Papa's words. And to do that, the beauty of Om Shri Ram and chanting is that it clears the mind and prepares us to receive. And those of you who are at the retreat, we did work with the clearing breath at the heart center. And I wanted to share that again as a reminder for those who came to the retreat and also as an introduction for those who may not have done it. And a reminder for those who haven't done it since we did it 20 years ago at Cloud Mountain when David was in silence. So the technique of the clearing breath is, as most things, very simple. First, what I want you to do is just to start to notice your breath going in and out. And our goal here is to not alter the breath. This is not a yogic breath per se. We're not trying to lengthen it or shorten it. We're just noticing the inhalation and the exhalation. It can be difficult to not change your breathing once you start to watch it. But there's no need to try and make it faster or slower, deeper or shallower. Just start to notice the breath. One thing when I first started with this and was working with it and had a very difficult time not changing it, something I found useful to know is that the inhalation is about half as long as the exhalation. That made it easier for me to not kind of mess with the rhythm of my breath for some reason. Now I want you to be aware of the rising and falling of your chest as you breathe. And this is where I will ask you to start to manipulate. So as you breathe in, make sure that the chest is rising. And as you breathe out, Make sure that the chest is falling. And it may feel more like your stomach or your diaphragm, but the area when you fill your lungs is expanding, and when you exhale, it's contracting. And once you're doing that, you're doing clearing breath. This technique of the clearing breath, and there's a charging breath too, but we won't work with that tonight, is something that Babaji gave to David when he was on Cloud Mountain. And specifically around using it at the different centers. And so what we're going to work with the clearing breath now is on the heart center. And the heart center is in the middle of the chest cavity. If you imagine bringing your shoulder blades together, that area, that's where you can kind of pinpoint the area. But it's in the more toward the center of your chest, just maybe a little bit forward, but at that, this area. And you'll notice when you go looking for it mentally that there's kind of a warm sensation. It's not a, doesn't have sharp edges or hard edges to it generally. It may if it feels very bound up. But it's just an area that when you start to pay attention to it, you'll feel warmth. And you'll feel a specificity to that space that's energetic, that's a little bit electrical. But what I mostly experience is some warmth there and maybe some movement. Once you locate that, we're going to go back to the clearing breath. And we're going to have that space breathe the clearing breath with us. And what I'd like you to do is imagine that the heart center, the heart chakra, literally expanding and contracting with the breath. And so when you breathe in, the chest comes out and the heart center expands. And when you breathe out, it comes back. And this can be imagination. This can be a thought experiment. Don't worry too much about seeing or being exact around this. Just try it. Don't force anything, just allow it to happen. When we're working with the emotional body, the electrical body, and I say, see it, you may see with your feelings. You may be aware of it, but you can't pinpoint it. So just go with that. Don't try and make it anything too. Don't beat yourself up if you aren't good at visualization. I guess it's mostly what I'm trying to say. Just allow it to breathe. Now, for some people, this may feel very comfortable and easy. For many, many years, my heart center was like a Gordian knot, or like the, you see the rope, the monkey paws that are these tight bound knots. And for many, many years, all I could do was start to have it just barely open, just barely move. like a tangled knot of ropes that when you try and pull on them, they just get tighter and more bound. If that's what you're experiencing, this is a perfect exercise because it starts to persuade the heart center that it can soften and open. Let's take about 10 more clearing breaths in that area. Notice what's happening throughout your body and your energetic flow as you do this. And one more breath. What did you notice with that? Anybody want to share either difficulties or successes working with that? Questions?
I felt like my neck was unwinding as well.
Michelle said it felt like her neck was unwinding as well. Any questions, everybody? As David would say, everyone did it perfectly, no problems. Anybody online have questions about that? Comments, observations? Okay. Go ahead, David. I saw you unmute yourself. Oh, I can't. I realize we can't hear you because I turned the speaker off. Okay, try it again, David. Still can't hear you. If that's me or you. Sorry, David, I can't hear you. Okay, the second part, and this is not the clearing and charging, this is the medulla opening from Master. And so for this, we're going to put both feet on the ground. And we're going to do, those who have done the 20-part charging have done this. Many people have done this with me recently because it's my latest favorite thing to do. So we're going to, starting with the left foot and working all the way up the body, we're going to hold the body parts in a low tension. And as we go up the body parts, we're going to continue to hold all the parts going up one at a time. So instead of tensing and releasing, we'll be tensing and holding. So starting with the left foot, tense to low, right foot, tense to low, left calf, tense to low, right calf, left thigh, right thigh, left buttock, right buttock, left forearm, left bicep, right bicep, lower stomach, upper stomach, left chest, right chest, left neck, right front of the neck. Hold to a low 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release and breathe out. And feel the energy flowing into the medulla, the back of the neck, back of the head. Flowing into the body and particularly flowing through the heart center. And go from the heart center up to the throat chakra, up to the back of the head, across the brain, through the ajna and up and over. Just feel that current flowing. Let's do it one more time. Left foot, right foot, left calf, right calf, left thigh, right thigh, lower left arm, upper or lower right arm, upper left arm, upper right arm, lower abdomen, stomach, left chest, right chest, left side of the neck, right side of the neck, front of the neck. Hold 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release and feel. The simplicity of that act of letting go of all the tension in our body allows us to be aware of that energy from God that's flowing through at all times that we block off without even knowing it. So by putting that the body into that slight state of tension and then actively releasing it, it allows the mouth of God to open. And the energy that makes this body to work, to flow in naturally and allow us to be one with all creation and the Creator. It's really lovely. So with that, reading that I have for tonight is from Papa's, the first part of Papa's book called Divine Life. And this, it's interesting because Papa Ram Dass was thinking about him today and how so many people are going through sadness and difficulties. The world is in such a state. And, Papa lived through World War I, World War II. He was a failed businessman. He was a failed artisan. Probably by most standards, he was a failed husband. And yet, answering God's call, he's left us with these beautiful, beautiful writings. And so this is the beginning of that book, A Divine Life. And it's called Life and Its Problems. Arise from the veil of misery. Misery has fallen to the lot of man because of his willful forgetfulness of the supreme truth of his being. He allows himself so much to be involved in the passing phases and affairs of life that he neglects to turn his thoughts to the eternal source of his existence. He struggles to find peace and contentment in the external adjustment and attainment of the things of life, but in no circumstance does he get the peace he strives for. On the other hand, he moves in an endless circle of ever-increasing cares and sorrows. In fact, he jumps from one fire into the other, from one pit into the other, from one sorrow into the other. He gropes in a self-created darkness and stumbles at every step, and his aches are many. And remember, Papa knew this from experience. Rest and peace are nowhere for him. This is the result of man's running away from the all-blissful center of his being, God. Forget this center, and you have a crop of misery. Tune your remembrance with the Lord and Master of your life, and you have endless joy. You now have strength, wisdom, courage, and freedom. And I would posit that just by doing what we just did, what did that take us, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? When you get good at it, you can do it in 5 minutes easily. It brings us immediately to that center, whether it's chanting God's name, whether it's opening the heart center, opening up the medulla. Tune your remembrance. Forget the center and you have a crop of misery. Tune your remembrance with the Lord and Master of your life and you have endless joy. You have now strength, wisdom, courage, and freedom. Oh man, do not permit the cloud of oblivion, which would hide the true glory of your life, to settle upon your soul. Awake to the consciousness of the eternal reality dwelling within you and destroy the cause of your misery. Let the great truth reveal his splendor to you. Verily, you are a temple of God. Life is short. Make the most of it by living in God. Every day that passes brings you nearer to the end. When you shall have to depart from the world, leaving behind everything which you hugged as your own. Life lived in the thought of God is life lived in true joy and peace. Else it is a lengthening chain of woe that drags you ultimately to the terrifying jaws of death. Let life be like the flower, born in the full bloom and given away utterly. Petals, scent, and all, to the gardener who brought it into existence. The joy of the flower lies in its self-offering to its loving maker. So our life is to be a dedicated flower at the feet of our divine master. Life thus lived alone is filled with real blessedness, peace, and joy. Use of suffering is the next section. Adversity and misfortune and the resultant sorrows and suffering are the common lot of mankind. Some notable men of philosophical turn of mind have questioned the utility of suffering in the world and have not only denied the goodness of God, but have flung him out of human calculation as unworthy of belief. But men of true wisdom and perfected experience who have probed deep into the mystery of life, acclaim with no uncertain voice the invaluable uses of adversity. Surely if there were no suffering in the world, there could be no evolution of man toward the highest destiny of life, the knowledge of immortality. It is through suffering alone a soul understands the real foundation and purpose of existence. Misery, pain, and suffering open the portals of his life to the comprehension of the supreme value and power of life. Progress toward the subtle and spiritual realms of existence is only possible along the path of pain and suffering. The fullest grandeur and beauty of life can be revealed when it is made to pass through the fire of tribulation and sorrow. So think about that. In this life, we can experience difficulties in a way we can't in the astral, we can't in the causal. We can also experience love and giving back to one another in a way that isn't possible in the higher realms. And so God brings us into this place to experience these things that we see as catastrophic sometimes. And yet they bring on changes that can only be created through these sufferings. And we've all seen it. We've all experienced it. God's grace will always keep you where God's will takes you. And so we think we can't get through something, and yet we do. We're here. Think about all the things we've experienced that we thought there was no coming back from. There was no possibility of surviving this moment. Some of them are hard to even remember. Think back even to being a child or a teenager and how you would literally die because something happened at school that day. And you certainly couldn't go back to school the next day. You couldn't face anyone. We've all had those experiences, and yet they're a distant memory that we probably couldn't even bring up. And that's the way this whole life becomes when we look back at it. Simply an exercise in keeping our connection to God no matter what happens. Papa goes on. Every new birth presupposes a period of agony. Every seed breaks up with pain and manifests the charm of a hidden foliage of fruit. The innocent and smiling babe is revealed from behind the veil, preceded by the mother's pains. The glowing stream of gold runs out of the dull ore when heated in the fiery furnace. The aroma of certain leaves and bark spread out only when crushed and bruised. So also the life, which is attended with the most painful experiences, exhibits its highest glory. Life would indeed be a stale and insipid thing if it were foreign to sorrow and pains, because true beauty, power, peace, and joy are born and nurtured in the womb of pain. The taste of sweetness is most enjoyed when it follows the taste of bitterness. So do not depreciate the value of suffering. It is an element essential for the evolving life. Do not be afraid of suffering or attempt to run away from it. Realize its great need and use in the upward march of the soul to the goal of its immortal consciousness. Welcome all the trials and struggle of life and derive, therefore, increased power of the will so that you can make the very sufferings as stepping stones to the heights of absolute peace and bliss. Make the very sufferings as stepping stones to the heights of absolute peace and bliss. For the soul who has attained to the peace and bliss of immortality, suffering and pain are no longer suffering and pain. His entire life and all of his experiences are transmuted into one ceaseless flow of ineffable ecstasy. Here, sorrow and pain reach their supreme triumph. Those who have achieved this victory alone know the sweet uses of long suffering. It is they who proclaim that God, the creator of the worlds, is all goodness and benevolence. They do not find fault with the conditions existing in the world because they know that the darkest moments of life herald the dawn of a radiant light of everlasting peace and happiness. So glorify suffering and understanding its true purpose in your life. Make the right use of it. Instead of being cowed down by it, raise yourself and aspire for the higher and noble aims of life. Cheerfully invite suffering, keeping in view the loftiest goal of life, the great reality that lies at the basis of your and world existence. May the sublime possibilities of life be revealed to you by the transmuting touch of suffering. Let suffering cause to flower your soul so that it might emit the perfume of infinity, the bliss of eternity, and shine forth with that light, peace, and love, which is unconditional and absolute. Blessed indeed are those who suffer. I think about Mother's life, and I think more specifically about David's life, because I was had a front row seat to it. And to watch the beauty and the light that emitted from David as he was experiencing these, what he talked about, he would talk to God about, his body was just a tiny hut and God was this huge elephant inside, and that God had to be more gentle with him. But he would spend hours each day with ice on his head, trying to cool the fire that was in the crown of thorns that he experienced. And I think about earlier in his path and just God taking away everything that was important to him, everything that he valued, every shred of his identity, and sweeping it from him and making him to just be reliant on God. He couldn't write a check. He couldn't make a phone call. He had divorced his wife that mother had married him to, that he thought if he did, he would rather die than to commit that kind of act. He was about to be, he had someone trying to force him out of his job that he had worked so hard to be in. He was in great pain in his back all the time. Everything that he saw himself as good, as smart, as strong, God took away from him. And then God took the experience of God away from David, so that he could only know God in his absence. And the pain that he experienced through that time. And then watching him come out the other side and be so filled with God and so radiant in God that everyone was attracted to him, whether they knew what it was or not. He was a single man at that point, and I had probably, over the course of a month, I probably had 20 different women ask if I could set him up on a date, because there was just something about David. And he was just so luminous at that point. And then going, taking the time and going into silence a few years later, first going to Ananda Ashram, and being so ill there that such a high fever with dysentery. And Papa showing him, it was in 98 or 99, Papa taking him above the body, and they danced above the body. And David looking down on the body saying, I bet we can make that body cry if we made it hurt a little more. And Papa saying, no reason. And them dancing in joy above the body. And then everything that he went through at Cloud Mountain to establish himself in that oneness with God, that peace that never left him. But all the pains that he went through, all the lifetimes. And to come out as a fully realized master. And to be able to bring so many souls to God. So many people that he met that did not come be part of the group, but that just needed that final touch from a realized soul. That's the final crushing of the grape, the final time in the crucible the extreme heat, the extreme pressure. One thing David and I talked about in the month before he left the body, I asked him, does each soul have the chance to go all the way? Or are we just, you know, making it through each lifetime and seeing how far we can get? And he went inside and he said, you know, each lifetime we're presented with all the karma that we need to resolve to go all the way to God, to have our full realization. And so when we see these lifetimes that are full of chaos and turmoil, terror and loss, we think about that statement. And when we have lives that are gentle and peaceful, we have to realize how close we are in both cases. Because having a lifetime as a human, as we're told, means we're in the final mile. And knowing the voice of a master means we're really close to the end. Understanding that this is where we want to be, that we have no place else to go. And being willing, though, to endure that pain, to endure what we need to be turned from lead to gold, have that alchemy occur. Are we willing? So often when we start to feel the intensity of God's energy coming into the body, we seek to do something to calm it down. It might be distractions, it might be inebriation, it might be relationships. It can even be what would be called positive activity in the world. And we're going to go do something good for someone when we really need to just be sitting in our meditation. When we really need to just be focused on just the one thing that God's put in front of us. But we can feel the pain that might be ahead of us. And so we avoid it. And we can avoid it as long as we want. Eternity's long enough, Elizabeth Hike says. Eternity's long enough. Eventually we'll get there. But how long do we want to, how did Papa put it? The chain, be drugged by the chain into the lengthening chain of woe that drags you ultimately to the terrifying jaws of death. How long do we want to be? How long do we want that chain to be? We can turn toward God now. And when we feel that discomfort, when we feel that pressure that can mount, instead of turning away, we open to God. We open the heart center. We allow that flow of God to come in naturally at the medulla. And it may not take away the pain, but it can take away the suffering when we know that we're connected with God, when we feel that peace and bliss of God flowing in. It allows us to endure the pain and not just endure it, but rise above it. More from Papa. Riddle of life. Suppose you're on the top of a hill and view at a distance, shooting up from the edge of a cliff, the branches of a tree. They appear to you to be suspended and growing in the air. You wonder at the sight. You question yourself as to how a tree could grow and appear in the air without a prop to stand upon. You do not stop at that. You proceed toward the strange sight with great eagerness to solve the mystery. You approach the very brink of the cliff where the branches were seen. Now you peep down and what do you behold? You find that the branches belong to a tall tree. having its root far down at the base of a deep precipice. Now your wonder has ceased. You have discovered the root of the elusive appearance, and everything is clear to you. Your riddle is solved. So it is with life. For you, it proves to be a perplexing riddle so long as you have not seen the source of it. The appearance deludes you, and you are asking yourself, where did I come from? Who am I? Whence is the universe? Is this universe? You cudgel your brain with these questions and strive hard with all the powers of your thought to find a solution for them. If you merely stand where you are and think and discuss within yourself, however much you may, still you are far away from the solution. With zeal and earnestness, you must walk the distance that takes you to the place wherefrom you can get the vision of your source. The path to the source of your and the world's being is not without. You have to go within yourself. You must go past your senses, mind, and intellect. You must traverse beyond all your ideas and ideals. You must transcend all limits, conditions, and tastes. And then alone will you have the fullest vision and realization of your immortal root. This immortal root is also the root of all that exists, the visible and invisible worlds, and all beings and creatures in them. Now you realize that one common existence has evolved, the variety of manifestations observed all around you. I'm just thinking, you know, Papa did not do well in school either, and he writes like this. It's just amazing. Sorry. Your perplexity is totally extinct. The knotty problems of your life are solved once for all. You know that you are one with all lives, one with the entire universe. Infinity is your true existence. Eternal bliss is your real nature. Birth changes and death are passing and playful elements in your cosmic life and spirit. Your life in tune with the infinite God has now reached the haven where everlasting felicity and peace dwells. In one word, you have realized your supreme Godhead. The object of life. The principal object of human life is to constantly think and meditate upon God. What do you think people would think about that if we walked around and told them, did you know the only reason you're here is to think and meditate upon God? God is seated in the hearts of all creatures and pervades all moving and non-moving objects. By dedicating all action to Him, you have to live with all beings in mutual love and harmony. The basis of this love is eternal peace. God, who is the very being of love, is also the embodiment of peace. Immortality, bliss, and wisdom are His other divine attributes. Refuge in this all-benevolent Lord grants the soul who is stricken with sorrow born of ignorance, imperishable bliss, peace, and freedom. He who aspires to attain the highest good should surrender to the Supreme Lord, who is the Savior, Controller, and Protector of the worlds. This is a practice that I do pretty regularly. When I start to feel any anxiety, particularly for family members or those I care about, things that feel out of my control, my prayer is, if you can create and sustain this universe, you can take care of this situation. And it brings great peace when you can actually believe that, when you can actually know that God is creating and sustaining this universe each instant, and that He is responsible for everything. Everything that occurs. And it's all created for our good. As difficult as it can seem to believe that, even all the terrible things that are happening in the world are created for everyone's good. Can we expand our mind to believe that? Can we look at it from a high enough view to really, truly understand that God has our best interest at heart, each soul's interest? Karmic debts must be paid. The scales must be balanced. And these things happen for those reasons. And yet we are also called upon to have ultimate compassion for all the suffering in the world. Knowing that we too have caused these kinds of sufferings, we too have been the victims of these kinds of sufferings. We can never again, after we've felt what it feels like to bring harm to another, we can never again do that because we understand the pain. We have empathy in a way that is true and deep. God brings these things about to change us, to change mankind, to bring us to higher and higher evolutions, that we may all live in a golden age. For what is done to one is done to all. Coming together like this is so essential in these times of transition for people of like mind to bring the light into the world, to expand it, to allow it to flow through us and out to the rest of the world. I think we'll finish up by doing just that. So bringing your attention to your heart center. And the medulla simultaneously. Feel that energy of God flowing through the medulla, lighting up the heart center and flowing out to the whole world. Bringing your light of God and expanding it by simply letting it be. There's no force, there's no pressure. You simply open, soften, and allow the light of God to flow through you. Changing this world. Imagine if every human was doing this right now. Heaven on earth. Healing every sadness, every sorrow, every pain, every loss with God's perfect, perfect light. As we say the closing prayer, think about the whole world all of its inhabitants, praying for everyone as well as our soul. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. And every person in the world. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing your light of God.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, God. And Gurus. And Papa. I would remind you that when we come together like this, that pressure that I talked about that comes from feeling God's presence in our tiny little human bodies can allow us or can feel a bit overwhelming. And so after this, you may feel impulsively to talk loudly or eat a bowl of ice cream or different soothing activities or expulsive activities. And instead, just bring yourself back to that heart center and opening, or allow the area around the brain to just expand, soften, expand, and feel the peace and bliss that comes with that, instead of trying to quash that intensity. So I'll play some probably more Rob now as we go out. David titled the song "The Only Song There Is." This Papa's grandson, Prem. don't know.